Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, I have my co-host, Barbara, here with me. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I am. Hi, Johnny. How are you?
Doing good. Now, today, our guest is, I think what we could do is maybe, do you want to start off with how you met our guest?
Yeah, I would love
to.
Okay. Well, just to let you guys know, I would love to talk about how we met because this beautiful woman, this young, lovely lady, approached me. And after I tell you why, then you'll know why I'm proud of it. She came up to me. I was at the Raiders game in Las Vegas in the beautiful suite of the owner, you know, not too shabby. And this beautiful, I'm like, oh, I'm sure that's a model, comes up to me and says, you have such a positive light about you. When I bring her on, she's going to tell you her exact words. But it was something like of that nature of like I attracted her to come over. I was like an open type feeling person, and it made her come over and say that, which compliment of all, where somebody can actually feel your insides that are good just by your presence. So I would like to welcome everybody, Teresa Kay. Teresa, are you there?
Thank you. I'm here.
You are welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Yes.
And you were. And you are a beautiful light, and I felt your love and light coming out of you, and I had to just tell
you
and introduce myself. Something
yes,
like that, yes.
What did you say? I got that right? You said, I'm a light. You said, I feel the love and light.
You did.
Tell me exactly if you can remember.
You know what? I think I told you that you were beautiful, and you were like,
oh.
And you thanked me, and I said, you know, I can feel the love coming out of you. We got into a discussion, and that's what made you ask me on the show.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about. You know, love is a high frequency when you really talk about it. And, you know, I felt it. I felt the love coming out of you.
And I would also like to say that you're – sorry, go on.
No. I was just saying, but, you know, that you would feel like saying something to a person. But we all should be more like you where we would feel – like, hey, I feel like giving a person a compliment, who cares? You know, what is the worst thing that could happen? And then you really made my day, and now you're here on a show where you're about to reach a lot of important story, message, and go ahead, Johnny.
I was just going to say, just letting you know, your friend Ruthie is listening in right now. So just, I want you to know, she says that she's your best friend. So.
Oh, yes. I love Ruthie. Hi, Ruthie.
Okay, good.
Oh, thank you. I did post, and I do it right before we go live, because that's when people are like, oh, wow, that's like in a couple of minutes. I'm available, and they click the link, and then they're listening. So without your best friend, you may have given her the link already. But
yes,
I'm excited.
Yes,
because, okay, good. Well, we welcome. We're glad that she's listening, and who knows if you want to bring her on in the middle or something to say a few words, like for, you know, 30 to 60 seconds, that would be okay. So maybe she's getting nervous now.
Absolutely. I don't know if she's set to come on too, but
yeah,
maybe toward the end we can open it up a little bit.
Good.
A little bit. Sometimes we have callers, but I wanted to let everybody also know, if they didn't see my post with your beautiful images, that you are also a model and also an art therapist, which since I did a little research on you, I found out this is a thing. This is a real thing that helps people, especially probably the ones
yes.
that are doing it. So do you want to start off by telling us what an art therapist is, a little bit about your art, and then we can go into your childhood?
Sure. Well, story, and I'll share it with you. I really wanted to do art therapy, and I was going to school for it. And it's part of my story of what type of art therapy I do, the type of work that I do is to spread love and healing. I've done a lot of art for people that have, say, lost a child. I've drawn their child that's passed away. And my art has brought them a lot of love and healing. And I have a whole testimony about, I believe God showed me my past and showed me how I can spread love in this world with my art. So it's a little bit different than art therapies. What I was going to school for was maybe a different type, but I believe God showed me my path and showed me what kind of art therapy I was for. And ever since, God has really opened doors for me to spread his love and light to the world. You know, I've learned whenever we use gifts and talents God has given us, when we use it for his glory, which is to spread love, we do that in stores.
I'll share. Wait, no, because it's not like, oh, you're just up there just talking. We interject, and I already have a question or a comment.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
We were talking. Okay. We were talking at the game, and everybody, the Las Vegas Raiders, but it was an away game, so you actually live in Las Vegas, and I was visiting, and you are there, and I saw videos of you doing this art, especially with the quicksand, your special kind of art. It is a therapy, okay? It's mesmerizing everybody.
Yes.
By the way, not to mention how beautiful she is standing there doing it. It kind of reminds me of watching a harpist play. It's not just art. It's also so beautiful. Well, and also, isn't all art really therapy?
Oh, yes. So I didn't share, I'm also a sand artist. I do sand art on a light table. I draw, and it's very therapeutic for me, and it's therapeutic for others. I draw beautiful sand, and it's projected up on a big screen. And I didn't share, that's the type of art I do as well.
Oh, that's the one that I was thinking was the real therapy, because you can actually take the sand and the table, the light table, to an event, which you mm-hmm. do, right? And then you do it in kind of
yes.
like the entertainment also, right?
I do. That's one of the types of media news. And when I say I'm an art therapist, I use art to spread love in the world. That's the kind of art therapist showed me my path in. And God has opened doors for me because I use it for his glory to spread love. He's opened doors. I got in with Paula Abdul in her show as a Bingo, which is incredible, just such a blessing. It's such a big headline show
it really
here
is.
In Las Vegas.
She's great. I met her, too.
She's amazing.
Backstage.
I love her.
The American Idol. I mean, I just never imagined she would be so friendly and so warm and just so happy
so
to even be talking to us on her break, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Good
she
for
is.
You.
She likes
okay.
to hug
is
and kiss
Christian?
Everyone. I love her.
Does she have background with spirituality?
Yes.
Is she?
She's a Christian.
Okay. And did she hire you
and
for that?
We pray before every show, which was such a beautiful thing. I was so grateful to find out that she loved it as well. And she also had me pray before the show. All the dancers and her, we would hold hands and pray before every show. And,
so did you have to be a Christian?
Thing.
If you were that big part of the show, that you were really in that group right before, was it important to her that all of the members be Christians because that was what she liked to do?
No.
Or what if they were not Christians? Would they bow and pray and hold hands
no.
with you guys? How did that work?
Yeah, they did. They did. They weren't Christian. Like some of the dancers, I don't know if they were really in the same headspace, but it's okay, you know. If we could spread our love and light to them, that's fine.
Okay, that's good.
It's not about religion. It's about love. It's about a personal relationship with who you believe is your higher power, who God is. And to me, my higher power is God, and God is love to me. And it's not about religion at all. It's about love.
No, you can actually make prayer whatever you want it to be, and especially in the beginning of a show where you need to come together as a team, it works. It's a good thing. It is wonderful.
Yeah.
But we're going to touch upon how the Holy Spirit changed your life and We will. But I wanted to also, this is what I really wanted to say. Remember we were talking at the game and I said, I incorporate my belief, you know, in Jesus Christ into my art.
Mm-hmm.
I always had. And I know you're going to remember, you might not remember, but when I was dancing, what I did every time before I competed, I prayed. Well, I talked to God.
Yes.
Basically. I talked to Jesus. I said, hey, Jesus,
that's
please
what it's about.
Dance with me. Yes, and it was not just before the competition. It was every single dance. Sometimes you would do 40, you know, because you did rounds. You had to do rounds and rounds and rounds. So you would do a lot of heats every single time. But nobody ever knew. And now that I, you know, I haven't competed for many years, I did it for years, I tell them I did that. And it really touches them because they want to know how can you handle it? You know, how can you enjoy it when, you know, so much competition? That is how I let go. You know, they say let go and let God. But it's true. You have to sometimes.
Yes.
I mean, you should all the time.
Absolutely. I prayed before coming on this show.
Exactly. Look how that happened. She came up to me. She felt a good light. And then we had a great conversation. Then, I asked her. And there's two shows you can be on. You can also be on the one when we go on camera. But we don't have a spot. And I didn't want to keep... I just wanted to get you on as soon as we could, and then we'll get you on camera, too, in the future, because I know you have a lot of material to cover.
I'd love that.
Also, visual would be, she could probably cover it visually, you know, because, like, with the art stuff, she could do it. I have a question now.
Sure.
I mean, what goes through your mind when you make art, like sand? I know that, what would be the appeal of sand art, by the way?
You know what? It's very therapeutic for me, and all of my art reaches people on a heart level. It's almost like spiritual, whether it's my sand art or whether it's a charcoal drawing of mine. I do charcoal drawing, and it's always to reach someone on that heart level, to make something shift, to either bring them healing in some way. That's what drives me. It's such a beautiful thing, you know, when you can make a piece of art for someone and fill their heart with joy or healing. Say when I did a drawing of someone who lost a child, I think that's such a beautiful thing.
Oh, and yes. Maybe you could do that for me.
That's maybe.
I do have one that died, so. And, you know, I'm okay with talking about it because it was my daughter's twin and it was at childbirth. But, you know, I named him.
Sorry, yeah.
I think that he, you know, when my mother passed away, I said, you know, say hi to Gabriel for short. I named him after an angel.
Yes.
Yes. And so that would be cool.
It's interesting you say that.
Anything of him.
I actually did a drawing of twins and one didn't make it. And that was... Mm-hmm. Somebody had asked me to do this drawing. I'll have to share that with you.
You know, I have a question.
Thank you.
So,
was it a boy
or
a girl?
Boy. Actually, the boy made it. His name was Liam, and Ava didn't make it, unfortunately.
Mine was opposite. My girl made it, and the boy didn't. And those two names are really interesting. I like those names. Ava was one of the names I almost named. Those names are good. So she has a little baby in heaven named Ava, and I have one named Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And, you know, it brought so much healing. It brought so much healing to the family. They sent me the photo. It's a giant size picture, and they framed it and hung butterflies around it, and they sent me the photo that when they received it, it was a gift. And,
gorgeous. Is this on your website?
It brought them so much love and healing.
Because I was just on your site.
It is. It's in my, I don't have a website, my charcoal in particular, but I do have a Facebook page called Charcoal Chick. And,
oh, cool.
And it has some of my healing arts on there.
Okay, I have to ask you, what kind of, hold on, Johnny, because I don't hear her sometimes in and out. What are you doing as far as your phone right now? Because sometimes it kind of goes in and out on the ends of words.
You know what? I just have an old phone, and I have you on my earphones. I'm speaking to you on my earphones because it's
everybody
just an old phone, and it
me.
Sounds better.
Everybody, when I put the earphones on, because pro, and they're going to be great, they say they cannot hear me as well as if I just hold it up to my mouth on speaker, which I'm doing right now. They say this is super clear. Will you try that? Because I don't want the listeners
to
miss anything. Okay.
I will. I actually did this with Johnny in the beginning, and he understood me. He could hear me more clear on the earphones than just the speaker because my phone is terrible. But I'll try it.
Oh,
right
let's
now.
See. Okay, let's see, because you have to hold it up, too. I didn't used to. I didn't hold it.
Okay, one second.
Okay, if it's worse, then we'll go back. You know, I just want to get it the best we can. And I think that's important. Is it the old cell phone? Okay. Johnny, did it sound better?
Is that any better?
Keep talking. Tell us about your website. What is your website handle? TeresaK.com?
No, I have a Facebook page for my charcoal drawings. It's called Charcoal Chick.
Okay.
But my sand art page is the Quicksand Art and my Instagram.
Okay, I can't tell if it's better now or not, but it's not doing the in and out. It's just a little more fuzzy. But as we go, maybe you can switch back. But, okay, everybody, the Facebook, you heard her, and because I thought it was called TeresaK.com. I was looking at your website just now, and now I have lost it. So I'm trying to find it again because that photo, the opening photo, was gorgeous of you, too, on your website.
You know what? TheQuicksand.com is my website.
Okay. Oh, quicksands.com? Okay. All right. So, Teresa, go ahead, Johnny.
Yes.
What were you saying?
Well, I was going to start
with my question.
That's okay. I'm sorry. Do you want me to start? You want me to say what I was going to say? Or?
Just say ask your question, please.
Well, what it is that I notice, like, sometimes when it comes to art, it's better when you get the story behind the art to understand what it is. Like, for example, when one of the pictures that you gave me to put up was of the owl. And and it's interesting because, you know, a lot of people may not know the story behind that rather than just the picture of the owl. What is the story behind that, by the way? Just the people who see, because people are going to see this owl picture. They may want to know the story.
Well, that's part of my whole testimony. I didn't know if I wanted to start.
Let's get to that, Ben. Hold on, Teresa. I found the Facebook, your page. Hold on, please, before we get into the whole big story. The Paula Abdul's Forever Your Girl show at the Flamingo Hotel, is that going on right now?
You know what? We ended that show. If she comes back, we're going to be at the Paris.
At the what?
Paris Hotel.
Okay.
You know, the whole quarantine happened, so the show was the show.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to have you go back onto the AirPod that you were on. It sounds better. In the meantime, I'm going to do a shout-out for you. Okay.
I'm better now.
Oh, well, it probably feels better if you're used to it as well. Okay, well, I really love that you did this show with Paula Abdul, and the sand art, if Johnny has to ask about it, Johnny, you must not have seen this. I mean, this is gorgeous. I want to know, before we get into your biography, how do you keep the sand together? Because people want to buy it, right, when you're finished? Do you keep it like, okay, hairspray it or what?
No, this sand art, it flows. I draw the picture with my hands, and then I wipe it away, or it turns into another picture, and then it turns into another picture, and it just gets wiped away. It's blue
sand
on top of glass.
They better have their cameras on.
Right.
Okay, well, everybody got to check it out. So thequicksand.com there. And now I would like to know, because a lot of times people see a model, ooh, she's gorgeous, tall, thin, blonde, young. She must have had such a wonderful life. Well, it's not always that way. It's not always so easy. And models have feelings, and models go through a lot in their life, sometimes tragic things. And you've gone through both. So why don't you take us through the first time you were adopted? Because in your bio, it says that you lived with 35 foster families. Is this how many?
No, actually, I was never adopted. I grew up in 36 foster placements from ages 3 to 16. So it was close. It was close.
But that's a big difference, though, everybody. It's like the foster, I knew that. The foster families, if they adopted you, why would you go to that many other families? No. And so what led to that, though? What happened to your own mom or family to where then you were in the foster care system, and how old were you when that started?
Well, unfortunately, my mother wasn't stable, neither was my father, and I was put in foster care at age 3, and I ended up moving around a lot. I was born in Alaska, and so I grew up in the foster care system in Alaska. I moved to 36 placements, age 3 to 16.
When you get placed, do you know approximately how long you will be there in that home?
No. As a child, I didn't know. And I'll go ahead and share more of my story in a flow, if that's okay. Stop me if you want to ask
no,
me a question.
No, I do want to know.
But I'll kind of just flow with it. You know, okay. Growing up, I lived in one home that I lived with for 3.5 years, and they were my new mom and dad. I loved them so much. And my little brother lived with me at the time, and unfortunately he started the cabin on fire, and my social worker came and took us away from that foster family while the fire was being put out. It was pretty traumatic. And I called them every day, when can I come home, mom and dad? Because they were my mom and dad, and I never got to go back to them. And it broke my heart. It was worse than getting taken away from my own mother when I was 3, because I was so young to remember.
Okay,
a lot.
So how old were you at this point, and how old was your brother?
So my brother was probably around 5 or 6, and I was around 7 or 8.
Okay.
At this point. And, you know, at that age, that's when your brain first develops, and the nerves in your brain connect, and it knows family and love and connection and stability. And
yes.
So that was the first family I was able to develop those feelings with. And when I got taken away from them, it was like them dying. It hurt. I'd call them every day, when can I come home, mom and dad? And I never got to see them again. And from then on, I never connected with other families because it would hurt too much when I moved again. Also, I never lived with any long enough to make a love connection.
What did they say when you said, when can I come back? What did they tell you?
They didn't have me back. My brother had burnt their home, and, you know, they had a bad taste in their mouth about foster kids after that, you know.
But did he do it on purpose, do you know?
No, I know it was an accident. He was too young.
Okay, so the next family, what happened with them?
You know what? There's so many to I lived in so many homes that I don't know if I should go into each one.
I lived
with a black family. They were, but why? What?
Why did you have to keep being tossed between all these different families?
You know what? It's just part of the system. If I wasn't a bad kid, I was a good kid, but, you know, family, I never got adopted, and most foster parents will just be letting the child live with them until their own mom gets healthy enough and you go back and live with your own mom. My mom never got healthy enough, so I would stay in a foster home for a year, and then that foster parent wouldn't be willing to take care of another child again any longer, so that I would move to another. So I moved around a lot. And
were you kept with your brother?
No, we were separated. And
oh, that's
my older sister
too.
As well. We were all separated, and I didn't know where they were half the time. And it was hard. You know, my heart was pretty ripped out.
Okay, Teresa, do they still treat the child like that, keeping them in the dark where they don't know what's going on, how long they're going to be somewhere, if their mom is ever coming back? Do they just keep the kid in dark like that? That seems like almost torture.
It's not that people are keeping. My life different now. I used to think, oh, no one loved me. But now I realize a lot of people showed me love. And I lived in good homes. And luckily, because my mom was not stable enough, and luckily I got to be in good homes and see the kind of life I want to have, you know. Even though I moved around a lot and I never connected with any, you know. As a young adult, I had no family and no friends.
How many different schools in Alaska? 14 different schools in Alaska?
No, there's many schools in Alaska, but I went to 14
of
them.
No, I know that. I have Alaska upbringing, too. I know, I've been to Alaska because my dad lived there, but I was just wondering. I just said, wow, 14 different schools in Alaska. That's a lot. Wow. That's the hardest part, too, is, you know, going to a new school almost every, not 14.
I was always the new kid.
Going in as the new kid every time. And then, you know, who's your mom? Who's your dad? You're not really calling anybody mom or dad anymore. I mean, there's a lot of emotional things that could be going on with your growing brain. And then, but there was something that happened. Weren't you married off by somebody? Tell us about that.
Well, let me share. In one of my foster homes, I had an unstable foster mother. And we ended up in a car accident. We were hit by two trucks. The first truck hit, and we were spinning on the ice. And then we were hit by another truck. And the first truck hit, I flew out the back windshield, and my foster mother was holding onto my foot as the car was spinning on the ice. And then the other truck hit, and I flopped back into the car. And I ended up in a coma. Luckily, I didn't fly out of the car. Luckily, she was hanging onto my foot as we were spinning on the ice, and then the truck hit us. But I ended up in a coma. No, I didn't.
Were you not wearing your seatbelt?
That's right. No, I was a 15-year-old, 15 at the time. 15-year-old kid, you know, trying to be cool, not wear their seatbelt, you know, was not a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
But,
mine always tries.
Yes.
Okay, so your head hit the back windshield really hard, gave you a traumatic brain injury. That must have been so scary. And then you were in a coma. How long were you in a coma?
Yes. For 3 days. And I suffered a traumatic brain injury from that, a TBI, traumatic brain injury. And my spleen burst, so they had to remove my spleen, which kind of leaves me with a lower immune system. I'm very susceptible to viruses and things like that. Yeah.
Okay.
What a spleen does is it cleans your blood of a virus. So I'm very susceptible to, like, viruses in particular. But
how was your...
I'm living.
Yeah. The COVID with the masks, that's how you probably should always be going around, in fact. But how was your foster mother dealing with that whole thing, with the hospital, with you in the coma? Did she love you a lot? I mean, was this a major traumatic thing? Were you glad you had each other? How was that emotionally?
Well, the foster mom at the time was not healthy. She had cancer and emphysema, and she also had issues with drug abuse and addiction. And they actually found coke in the lipstick container in her glove compartment. And she was high because she would take her pills and sell her pills. And she was not a healthy person. And
Wait,
then
what
the accident
did she have
happened.
She
was,
What did they find?
Oh, they found coke. Coke.
No
in
way.
The glove compartment
while you had the accident?
Yeah. You know, the car was totaled, but they found drugs in the glove compartment in a lipstick container. But she wasn't a healthy person. She actually was. She was a crack. She smoked crack, and she did coke, and she also did a lot of pharmaceutical medication because she had cancer and emphysema. So she just wasn't a healthy person. Even though
how old are you?
I loved her.
At that time,
I loved her. She's
wait,
a good
at,
person.
At that time. Okay, good. At that time, though, how old were you?
Yeah.
I want to keep 15. It straight. How old you were? 15. Okay, go ahead, Johnny.
Well, have you met a lot of people that have a lot in common with you in regards to this? Friends?
You know what? You know, this, the life I've lived is a little not the norm. So, no. You know, it's been quite a journey. I have more to share, but it's okay. I use my testimony to help others now. You know, God has molded me into this beautiful soul with a big heart and a lot of empathy for others that are in the darkness,
yes.
And I want to spread love and light to them. I know how to get out of that darkness now, you know, because I've been
and
through
you've
it
been
and found
doing,
light.
You've been doing some speaking, haven't you? Did you go back up to Alaska and do any speaking?
No, I haven't, but maybe one day I will. That's a great idea. I would love to do that.
Like what area?
You know,
are
I was
you
born
from?
And raised. I was born and raised in Anchorage. And I moved around a lot, Kenai, Soldotna. I moved all over Alaska.
My dad lives in Ketchikan, Alaska, but it's the southernmost city. It was mostly rainy, but up where you were,
oh, yes, I remember. You mentioned your dad.
Yeah, he was a bush pilot. So Alaska is a wonderful place, but it also is far away from a lot of other things. But you are... Now 15, recovering from a very horrible
yes.
accident, not only physically, but sometimes that really is scary emotionally mm-hmm. to even drive again. So then how long did it take to recover?
Well, I'd like to share. I'll kind of go on with my story. After my car accident in coma, when I say I lived in 36 placements, I don't say I lived in 6 foster placements because they weren't all foster placements. I lived in some shelters and some mental health hospitals and other things. And after the hospital, the state had me moved around a few times and put me in a mental hospital. And then lo and behold, for the first time in 14 years, they wanted me to move back with my mother. And it was, she was unhealthy. I only lived with her for 2 months. And then the state took me away again. So I'm 16 by this point. And I ended up on the run from the state of Alaska, kind of moving around, living with out of a trash bag.
Wow.
And then that's when my mom married me away to a man that was 7 years older than me. Oh, no, he was 15 years old and age 16 by this point. And he being a terrible person, he was a heroin addict, a drug addict, and he was a con artist. And he took me to Alaska to play, and I ended up being strung out on drugs. And it was horrible. You know, I thought I loved this man. He was the only person in the world that I thought I loved. I had no family and no friends. It was kind of like a Stockholm syndrome. He was abusive
yeah.
in every way, physically and mentally. And I ended up being caught up with drugs and I luckily got away from him when he was put in prison. And the detective that saved my life visits me every year here in Las Vegas. And he's like the foster dad I never had. He has 5
that's
sons.
Nice.
And he calls me like his only daughter. But
that's
why
nice.
I moved here to Las Vegas.
Oh.
When my ex-husband got prison, I moved here to Las Vegas, and I lived in a residential treatment facility for people with traumatic brain injuries, and I got a lot of care and healing, and that's when I learned to drive. I'm 20 at this point, healing in this head injury facility, learning how to live life, how to do things, how to write checks, how to grocery shop, how to drive, how to live in an apartment, because I just never learned those things. And at this point, as a young woman trying to survive in this world. I had no family and no friends, a very destitute, empty heart, and I started looking for love in all the wrong places. And, you know, I share that I was seeking things in the physical world, things like men and drugs and alcohol to fill my heart and numb my heart. And I was so alone, utterly alone. It wasn't until I had a personal encounter and experience with God that I came to full faith in God, who I learned is love. And then instead of looking to the physical to fill my heart, I looked to the spiritual and got filled with the Holy Spirit, who is love, and my heart began to overflow with love. And that's part of my testimony in my art. I would pray to God every day, how can I spread your love in this world? And he showed me my path in the arts and what type of art therapy I'm in for. Because in the head injury facility, I learned a lot about the brain, and I learned that art works a lot of different nerves in the brain. It can be very healing. So I decided I want to go to school for art therapy. In Nevada, there's no art therapy programs to take, but I found out that if I put an art portfolio together and get a bachelor's degree, I can submit all of that to another art therapy school in LA or Seattle. They have a couple of great programs. So I was going to school. I got my associate's and I got my bachelor's in psychology, and I was putting my art portfolio together. And that's when I fell into a depression and I went into a really dark place. And that's part of my testimony about the owl drawing that I have on the slideshow for today.
That's gorgeous.
And so this owl I started, a friend of mine, she was pregnant and she went to have her baby early in the hospital, her daughter Lola, and her daughter unfortunately passed away. She only lived for 19 days. And my friend was diagnosed with cancer at the same time while she was in the hospital. And she started on treatments right away for her cancer. And she would go on Facebook and she'd post little owls and share how, you know, her little daughter Lola had passed away, and she was posting owls. And my heart really went out to her. And I thought to myself, you know what, I'm going to draw her an owl. So I started drawing this owl. And the technique I use with charcoal is I shade the whole paper black, and I use erasers to erase with a lot. It's a beautiful deduction technique. So I started drawing her this owl. And I got the face done, but I fell into a depression. This is at the same time I was going to school for art therapy. And so I fell into this depression. I dropped out of school. I was drawing the owl. I only had drawn the face. And I fell into this depression, and I would look at this owl on every day, and it would stress me out that I couldn't. It ended up for 3 years, and I looked at it every day. It started stressing me out that I couldn't touch it. And this is when I came to full faith in God. And he showed me my path, you know, how I could spread this world. And he showed me through this, it's kind of hard to explain. I was watching this episode, Sid Roth's Supernatural, on YouTube, and he was interviewing a woman on his show, a woman, Teresa Deadman, and her name's Teresa. So I'm like, oh, watch it. My name's Teresa, too. And she was an artist. And on this, so on his talk show, she's like on the stage with her easel in front of an audience, and she said, by the end of the show, there's going to be a drawing on here for someone out there. And she went on to say, when you have a connection with God, when you have the Holy Spirit, you are connected to Jesus, His Holy Spirit, you're connected with the ultimate creator of the universe. So anything you create, all of your art is spreading His love. And you're like almost like co-creating with God. And as I'm watching this episode, I'm like, on my phone, I looked up at the easel and I realized why I need to finish this drawing. Because I have a personal relationship with God. You know, He is in my heart and soul. And anything I create can be spreading His love. And so at the end of the show, the drawing on her easel had a girl with blonde hair. And she went on to say, this is for someone out there with head trauma. And I was just in tears. And I was like, this drawing is for me. And this is like a message from God that, you know, this is Him telling, like through this woman, like God works through this woman to give this message to me that, you know, anything I create is spreading his love. And after that, I finished the drawing of the owl, and I gave it to the girl who lost the child, and it's brought her so much love and healing. And now I realize what kind of art therapy I'm meant for. And ever since then, all of my art I've used to reach someone on that heart level, to spread God's love in this world. And it's brought my art has brought so much healing. And you know what? God opens doors. I want to share that. When you have this intimate relationship with God and you use your talents for his glory, which means to spread love, he will open doors for you. That's what we're meant for. That's why we're here on earth, is to love. Love really is the answer. And it's so beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And I went from such a destitute, dark place to being overflowing with love. And that's, I'm going to write a book one day, and it's about finding love, and it's about finding faith in the Lord, who is love. Because I went from being destitute, no love, no family, no friends, so alone. I fell deep into alcohol and drugs because I was looking for love in all the wrong places. I was numbing the pain in my heart, and that wasn't love. That was pain, you know. I never learned how to have a healthy love.
Wow, that's
but
a wonderful message. That is a wonderful message. But how did you learn about God?
You know what? So growing up, I lived in many different religions. I even lived with a black family. They were Islands people. We went to church on Saturday. They were Seventh-day Adventists. I was the only little skinny white girl in the church. So I learned a lot of stories about in the Bible. And, you know, I didn't just come to full faith in God because of what someone told me to believe. You know, it was a personal experience. You know, my whole life I was like, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. But in my heart, I really didn't know who God was. You know, I believe there was a creator, you know. But I didn't really have full faith until I had a personal experience. And that is when I was 33 years old. When I fell into that Christian and dropped out of school, I came to full faith in God through a personal experience. And the way that happened, how I came to full faith in God, was seeing what's happening in the world right now, even as we speak, and seeing that it's all biblical, because I put together stories from the Bible that I learned in all those religions I lived in. I see right now that the world is coming under a new government, a one world government, a new world order. We're going through it right now, and this is kind of deep. I'm talking about COVID. I'm talking about the vaccines. It's leading to a digital pass, which to me is the mark of the beast, because you will not be able to buy or sell without it. I know this sounds religious, but to me, it's very real. God is who keeps me healthy and gives me my freedom. With this new digital COVID passport, which will be in us eventually. They want to transfer us to a new AI system, like they're doing in communist China to their people. It's completely surveillance system that they're under. Freedoms are
taken
away.
We had to be vaccinated. I mean, you had to be vaccinated to even be where I met you, which was in the stadium. And they get people by saying, hey, we're not going to give you your football unless you get vaccinated. And they even had clinics right there at the stadium, which I could not even believe. And you know what? I didn't even want to get vaccinated. I didn't.
Me neither.
Some people think that's stupid, but you know what? I did not want to put that in me. And I had to. Otherwise, I really am limited on the things I can do.
That's understandable.
But I have to then, Teresa, don't I then trust in God that he will keep me? See, so that's why I don't worry.
And I believe God's going to bring us through this. I really do. And I believe that, you know, we need to go back and be more humble and learn the old ways, to learn how to grow our own food anymore again, and not depend on the government for everything, you know. And I think that God is going to change this world, though. I believe that is God.
I was just saying.
This is happening.
Sorry, go on.
You know, to me, this is before in the Book of Exodus when the Pharaoh enslaved the Israelites. You're under a slavery. This is happening now, just like back. You know, to me, it's biblical, and it goes pretty deep. And I don't know if we want to get in on call.
Well, Johnny,
I
have a question about it.
Yes.
Go ahead, John.
Question. Go ahead.
Yes, question.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, you mean a question about this, or?
Oh, no, you had the question.
No,
I just don't
know. Whichever.
Well, you know, I was wondering if this would be a good time to put in a call, or did you want to wait?
Sure. Well, what kind of call?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Area code, number 02, you're on the air.
Oh. Hello, caller.
Hey. This is Ruthie. I basically said Teresa's my best friend. I don't know if I'm her best friend, but I just do love her so very much.
Oh, I love you. You are my best friend.
Oh, is this Ruthie?
Yep. This is Ruthie.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
I love you, Ruthie.
And I was just totally choked up at your story, as sometimes I've heard it maybe before because you've shared it. But I just get, you know, different aspects of your message, and I think you put it together really well. And Teresa also is, just has my back to get myself together as far as too much alcohol consumption is concerned and getting me to confront that, and I'm working on that, which... You know, I owe her an entire gratitude to, as well as getting back into church and getting back with the Lord. I don't want to sound too dramatic, but I owe her my life, if that's what it comes to.
Love you, Ruthie.
And we're there for each other.
That's a really good compliment.
Yeah. All right, I'll let you guys get
love
back.
You,
Thank you, Ruthie.
My pleasure.
Wow.
Thank you so much for having this message tonight. Thank you.
You are welcome. And, wow, that was very – now I got chills all over from that one. But it sounds like you could be
a
therapist, not just an art therapist.
You know what? I'm very –
and you
I didn't share.
Study psychology.
I didn't
– what was that?
I didn't share, but I'm very involved in AA. I myself am over 2 years of sobriety myself.
That's very good, especially being over there in, you know what they call it, Sin City. I lived there before, and it can be dangerous because of the laws. The laws are different. You can go to a bar all day and all night. They don't close.
Right.
Some don't.
Yeah.
And you could be out there at 8 a.m. driving to work, and then somebody kills you because they are high from, they're just ending their night at 8 a.m., you know, and they're drunk driving.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
You know, it's funny because I, I've heard, and one of the phases of alcoholism is, coming to recognizing the higher power. And I've often wondered, you know, a lot of people don't understand this, why it is that when you are in the recovery stage, they tell you not to engage in any kind of a romantic relationship. And the reason they tell you not to do it is if you engage in a romantic relationship when you're recovering, the romantic relationship that you're in becomes the higher power. I mean, have you ever heard of that?
I think I have heard of that.
But you understand that does make some sense, because obviously if somebody you're in a romantic relationship, they really shouldn't be your counselor, you know.
If they're pulling your heartstrings, it could make you want to drink. Or if they break your heart, it's going to make you want to drink. So if you're in recovery, you don't want to start any new relationships that are going to make you crazy. Love makes you crazy. Whether you get in love, it's the greatest thing ever, or whether you go through a breakup, it's the worst heartbreak ever, and it can make you drink. So
that's what they, it's like, I mean, God had to make it that powerful of a feeling, otherwise nobody would stay together to procreate. And it's very powerful. It can make you do a lot of crazy things, and that is a good rule, Johnny. That's a good point too, because they're not
that
ready
is,
for relationships. Yeah, they're trying to recover. They shouldn't be getting into a new relationship until they're healed, like recovered, don't you think?
Yes, I totally agree.
How often do you go to the AA? Is it once a week?
You know, I probably don't want to really get too much into that because it's more of an anonymous thing. But I work with women that are in recovery. So yes,
oh, great.
I do go.
We're working with them. So
every few weeks, whenever I'm available.
Oh, that's wonderful, because they're called sponsors,
yeah.
Correct? And they need somebody to call that is maybe more stable than they are, and they probably appoint you quite a bit. I think you would really do well, too, just speaking and telling your story, because there's a lot of kids out there that they have some, you know, their parent tells them something, and it's a disciplinary thing, which is not maybe that big of a deal. If they look at your life, I mean, kids go crazy if they have to move one time. It's the biggest thing in their life. I understand it's hard.
Right.
But look how many times you did it. Look how many times you had to endure that. They need somebody to relate to that has been through it, who then they can see made it through, because a lot of kids commit suicide. But they just cannot think. Like, I used to think, I'll be out of here someday. I will be free someday. But they don't see the freedom. They don't see the end of the tunnel, do they?
No.
Why don't they?
No,
How did you, though, through all that?
You know what? By the grace of God, you know, I believe God was there for me all along. I'm lucky I didn't grow up with my mother. She wasn't stable at the time. She actually still isn't stable today. And I got put in good homes where I got to see the kind of life I want to have, even though I moved around a lot. I'm lucky I didn't grow up with my mother. And you know what? I think God puts us on a journey to mold us into who we're supposed to be in this world. I ended up with a huge heart with a lot of empathy to help others. And I love, like, say AA. I love AA because it's almost like you hold the keys to life to help someone else out of the darkness. It's about service and helping others out of that darkness. After you get yourself in the right place, you go on to help others that are trying to get in a good place as well. And it's beautiful. It's the greatest job in the universe. It's like you hold the keys to life to someone that's in the darkness.
It's really based on faith. Is this in faith of Jesus Christ? Do you pray to Jesus there, or is it just dear God?
You know, it's to me, it's a personal relationship, and it's just what matters most is spending time alone with God. I actually make meditation pillows, and so they cover your. I need to send you one. I need to make you one. So it's an organic peppermint oil infused flaxseed pillow. You can heat them in the microwave or put them in the freezer. You've probably seen these kind of like little.
Oh yeah,
flaxseed
I have.
Before. But mine are actually they're for spending intimate time alone with God, which means soaking in love. They're for soaking in love. Instead of clearing your mind when you meditate, you actually put this pillow over your eyes, complete black. And just soak in God's presence and come in alignment with God. Because the world's crazy, and we need to be able to, we need to, you know, the Bible says, seek first his kingdom and all be added to you. When you spend intimate time alone with God, which is love, when you have frequency, and just, you know, it's just connecting with him. And that's what matters before you do anything. You're connecting with God. If I don't do that, then my day is horrible. I have to connect with God every morning when I wake up. I grab my meditation pillow out of the freezer, and I put it over my eyes, and I soak in, and I pray before I start every day. This brings me so much healing in my heart. And I've gifted so many of these pillows. I even got them into a spa at one point. Like I said, when you use your craft and your talents for God's glory, he opens doors, and it's just incredible how these pillows can bring healing and reach people on this heart level.
You know what is so funny?
And help them learn how to meditate.
Those pillows, I felt the same thing with those pillows, that they were so healing. I love them so much. And I remember my girlfriend Nikki Sheeler. She married Ian Ziering. Yeah, remember them?
Oh.
And I got those pillows for their wedding gift because I thought, okay, something that makes them feel good and it's in their bed, they'll remember.
Yeah.
Hey, Barbara made me feel, you know, good. And yeah, that's, I did that because I really recognize that pillow as being a wonderful, relaxing thing where you can heat it up in the microwave for a minute and it's perfect and you lay with it.
Mm-hmm.
I love those things. And how great to connect that with the spirituality and say, this is my kind of meditation, getting close to God pillow. Oh, I love that. And that should be your merchandise with your own logo.
Well, my pillow, it has it. It has it all on it. I have a pamphlet and an artist testimony inside of the pamphlet. I'm going to send you one. I think you'd really like it. People really love to get them for Christmas. I make a lot of them for Christmas because they make great stocking stuffers.
yes, they sure do. How perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, this is so great. And, you know, I also was very thankful that you came up to me because I feel like I have a new friend. So when I go to Vegas, I will contact you. Everybody goes to Vegas. Yeah.
That's right.
You know, if you lived in Wisconsin, I wouldn't say, well, next time I'm in Wisconsin, I'll look you up. No, but I go to Vegas all the time. And
well, you definitely let me know. I'd love to see you.
That was a wonderful, and that was really a fun day. And you were one of the gorgeous models there. And I just remember feeling good vibes from you, too. And now all of this. But people, they look at you and they would never imagine what you went through. And when you tell them a little bit about it, what is their initial reaction?
You know what? I do my best to spread love and light to them. That's always my goal. That's like my number one job in this world. You know, I think that it sounds like a hippie, but love is the answer. It truly is. You know, God is love. That's why we are created from love to love. We're here to love. And when I can share, like, my story, I'm always wanting to help someone get through their own troubles and bring them healing in some way.
Do you ever talk to your birth mom?
I do. Every once in a while, maybe once every couple years. You know, I pray for her. I pray a lot for her. Unfortunately, she's not mentally stable. And, you know, that's all I can do. And I don't have a deep relationship with her. And I can't because, you know, it's been a hard life trying to figure out my own life. And I have to keep healthy people around me. And unfortunately, she's unhealthy. And she's still caught up in drugs and
so has she,
you know, so I pray for her.
Felt any regret? Has she apologized or is she so kind of far out that she doesn't even know that she caused you any pain?
I think it's a bit of both. I think she's gone through some pain, but you know, when I tried to open up to her and she's a little disconnected and we can never seem to get a relationship started. And she doesn't have a phone half the time. I don't know where she is half the time. She camps in the summer and stays in cheap hotels in the winter. So she's just, unfortunately, I pray for her. You know, and I'll buy her food sometimes for the holidays. I'll have it delivered to her. That's, you know, she's kind of homeless some of the times.
Wow.
So
what about your dad?
My dad, you know, now that I really understand alcoholism, I've just started reaching out to him because he was an alcoholic his whole life. You know, he's still a drinker. So my dad's a fisherman in Alaska. He has the same smoker drinker voice as the guys on that show, The Deadliest Catch. If anybody out there remembers that show,
yeah, they're pretty rugged.
So you know, I just started reaching out to him, and I'm hoping that next summer I can go out and go on a fishing trip with him, with my boyfriend, and with my boyfriend now, he has 13-year-old twin boys. I want to take them out, and you know, I want to see my dad one last time in my life, and he's getting older, and he didn't really take care of himself, so he's probably older than he should be, he aged himself with the alcoholism.
I think that's
but,
I know they really do. You could really see a drinker when mm-hmm. they hit like their 70s and early 80s. You can really see a big difference of somebody who's healthy
yes.
and athletic and somebody sitting around and drinking a six pack every single night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you
mm-hmm.
are what you eat, basically, everybody. So,
yeah.
but that's
so
good.
So my dad, I'm trying to build a relationship.
It's good that you
I'm
are.
Sorry, what was that?
It's so good that you are trying and don't just give up on your dad, because it sounds like he didn't mean for all of this to happen. But look what could happen. Look what can happen if
yes.
you get married and it doesn't go well and you have little kids and they see a lot of fighting. And then in your case, it
mm-hmm.
even got worse with you having to go into the foster care system. So just by not making very, very wise decisions when we're young about marriage and all of that, it can really
yeah.
mess up people. I want to know, though,
it really can.
Really felt alone. You didn't have any other relatives up in Alaska. How did your mom and dad even end up there?
You know what? I don't know. Backstory, really. Interesting. I know where well, my dad were born, but I didn't grow up with them. So I don't know. I don't know how they
you can ask
in
your dad when you go fishing.
Exactly. I need to get all the background information I can while I have the chance.
Yes. Well, I did see that one speaking little engagement that you had, but I don't think it was a planned one. And the lady was, I think, a pastor at church, at a big church, and you got up and she had the painting of the owl that you did, and she was really touched. And I know that you told the story about that woman, didn't you? That you had that connection.
Yes, when I shared that God in the arts, it was actually through that woman on the talk show. She was the guest I watched that did the painting on stage with the blonde. She said it was for head. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but.
I thought it was a church. It was a talk show. Okay.
Yes. So, let me explain. She is creative arts at Bethel Church in Redding, California. And she is kind of a, like, famous in the Christian.
You're cutting out.
Which
Christian? Do you hear her?
Okay.
Wait. You really were cutting out for the first time. First time ever on the show.
Better?
You were cutting. Let's see.
Is that better?
That
I'm
was
here.
Fine. Okay. Okay, so you were talking about the lady who had you come up on stage.
So her name is Teresa. Yeah, her name is Teresa. And she is a director at Bethel Church in Redding, California. Bethel Church is where Bethel music comes from, incredible singing group that's really big in the Christian field. Well, she ended up being interviewed on Sid Roth's show called It's Super Natural. And she was, after I watched that, Supernatural, because her name is Teresa and my name is Teresa. The episode, well, I felt the painting on stage was for me, because it was for someone with trauma, she said, and it was with an angel. And the message she gave about how when you connected to the ultimate universe, create love. And that message found her on Facebook, Deadman, and she's the creative director at Bethel Church. And I said, Teresa, your testimony on his show touched me. It felt like that he did was for me, because he said it was for someone out there. I believe it was for me, and that I was drawing this owl, and now I know why I need to finish it. I need to finish this owl for this girl, child. It was sitting in my easel for 3 years, and you gave me the permission to finish this painting and or this owl, this charcoal drawing, and I sent it to the group so much love and healing to her. And I didn't know every year at Redding, at a church in Redding, California, where Teresa Deadman is the creative director, every year they're creative conference. And I would my story about how this thing from creative arts on Facebook, and all on there to the arts conference where Teresa Deadman works. And they have a creative conference every year. I said, you know what? I'm coming. And I took 8 hours studying, and I went to the 3-day beautiful conference, and put me up on stage to share my testimony. What that video was, it's my art testimony about how I showed my power. And ever since then, I use my art story to spread and doors. I got in with Paula Abdul. I do art with women in sober living. You know, I make my meditation videos. I'm telling you, like, because I use pretty much in stores.
Yeah.
Just talent.
It's really good that you've been on. I mean, we could have you on. It's been a lot of fun. I mean, I think that I would like to have you on. Well, that's Barbara's call. I mean, you know, this Barbara's call. But
well, we said that I want it too.
Yeah,
my show, More with Barbara. Of course, I want to see her. And can you? Will you be able to bring your table, your glass table, and do the sand art on the show?
Well, I would love to. We can talk about that. Absolutely.
Oh, great.
I'd be honored.
Oh, that would be so cool. That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
And just so you know, Teresa, when you listen to this back, it was a fabulous, wonderful show. Just at the end, I couldn't hear you very well. I would love for you to, you know, redo that story when you come on more with Barbara. And we'll book you that right away, won't we, Johnny?
We sure will.
Like after next week. So this was awesome. And I hope that the people listening can get inspired. Yes, and to go find your own art within. Because there's an artist in everybody, don't you think?
Absolutely. Healing.
Let's find what Johnny likes. Because Johnny, go ahead and tell her about your love for music.
Oh, God. I have never found any kind of music that I like. I'm musically challenged. And it's just really strange and unusual, but that's the way it is. I mean, I don't know. I just have never found any kind of music I like. So, I know.
What do you think about that, Teresa? What do you think about that?
About he hasn't found music before?
He doesn't even care about music. He doesn't like music. Music. He has never heard a song actually enjoyable or it moves him.
Well, maybe music doesn't reach out to him. Maybe he needs a box and see if he likes playing.
I don't think so. I think there's some autistic people. Johnny is, I never even knew he was autistic. I worked with him for a year, and he said that. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. So he's one of those kinds. It's very, like, on the minimal scale of autism, I would say. So.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that is, okay. He thinks that's why he doesn't like music.
I see,
yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, art works a lot of different nerves in the brain, and it's very healing. So maybe it's worth trying, you know?
I'm wondering if maybe the art would touch him somehow.
Right.
Yes, we should get together and do it.
You have to go to Florida. He's all the way over there.
Oh, my goodness. What part of Florida do you live in?
Destin, Florida.
I love Florida. Okay. Well, thank you so much
for having
me on the show.
He needs to find, though. See, I would like to find a therapist out there that is like a psychologist that can
help somebody find their passion, because what we're really talking about is your passion. Mine was dance. And when I did it, I felt like this is God. You know, this is real life right here. These moments doing it, what I do, my art, is life. When some people don't have that,
yes.
Teresa, some people do not feel like they have a passion. I've met them before who are really great,
yes.
People that have worked for, let's say, Playboy, because I was working as a playmate for so many years. And this woman noticed I started to compete. She said, you know, I've never had a passion. I've never had something so much that I love that I just had this burning desire that I had to go do it. So, you know, it really is a blessing. It is really all about God. But I don't think that he's not giving these other people their blessing. I think they might not be reaching in deep enough to find it.
Yes. Can I share something? You know, when I fell into that depression and I had no passion for my art and that owl drawing sat on my ego for 3 years, it wasn't until I came to faith in God and actually started praying out loud with my mouth, not just in my mind because the mind wanders, but praying out loud with my mouth, that God answered. That's the main thing. We need to pray and talk to God, but not pray at God. We need to listen, because God is showing us things in small signs and wonders all around us. We've got to pay attention. If we pray, and that's when God showed me, is when I started praying to him for him to show me, you know, how I could spread his love in this world. And he showed me.
Do you pray?
And that lit my passion. That lit my passion and my fire to do my art. That's what gives me the passion.
Yeah.
God gave
do you
me
pray
my passion
in the morning,
for my art.
Or do you pray all day long? Because sometimes I just
I
talk
pray
to God.
Anytime. I'm always.
Me too.
I'm connected with the Holy Spirit. He works through me. He shows me my path. You know, small signs and wonders. We have to pay attention. You know, not just pray to God, but listen back, because he's always directing our steps. But I had no passion, and God showed me, and that's what lit my passion. You know, I would pray. You know, it doesn't have to be like God and Jesus. To God, you know, God, to show you, you know, your, you know, what is going to, and he will you, his promise.
No.
Seek me with your whole heart.
Do you have a favorite verse?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite Bible verse?
You know, there's a few, but here's one that always stuck in my mind is, and I don't know which verse it is, but it says, you know, do not conform to the world, but be renewed mind to show what is good in the will of God.
Oh, I
so
love
don't conform.
That.
Don't try to be in the world, but be renewed. Be transformed in your mind to show in the perfect will of God.
Thank
which
you.
Happened to me. I was in the darkness and transformed to a new person with spirit. The Bible says,
yes.
Out your heart of and put a new heart in you, and the old you will pass away. New creation. That happened to me. I went from a depressed heart to being a whole new ongoing and to me.
That's
Jesus,
why they call it born
love
again.
In the physical body. Yes.
Yeah.
I have a whole new
you guys.
Love. It's flowing.
You're going out again. You're going out, Teresa. You're going in
uh-oh.
And out. Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to close the show, but I would like to read one thing because my mother was such a soldier for Jesus. Oh, my goodness. And she used to write, yes, she used to write Judy's words. That was her name, Judy, for the church monthly. And I just want to read one last
beautiful.
Paragraph that ended November that she wrote. Okay. Imagine getting out of bed in the morning and there are two doors. One says world and one says word. Which one will you go through? Apply his word to every area of your life. Let his word lead and heal your heart.
Let his word become your life's blueprint. Choose to follow his light and you can't go wrong. And that's what you've done, Teresa.
Oh, I love it. That's so beautiful. Thank you. You know what? I want to write a book one day about finding faith in the Lord. God is, I knew that he will go past, show us the way. And we don't have to live in fear going on in the world right now. You know, in the end, God wins. And they can never take that from us.
And the worry. I used to worry so much about everything, being self-employed, you know, for the last 30 years
right.
of my life. Well, my mom would repeat that one. I don't know all the verses word for word, but it was that verse about, do the sparrows reap and sow in the barn?
I know which one.
No.
I know which one that
they
is.
They don't. Well, so why are you worrying? Does God not love the birds
right?
as much as he loves you? This put everything into perspective for me.
Yes.
Every
and it
time.
Says seek
Every
his
time.
Kingdom first and all, yes, all the added to you. That you just said, most of it goes.
Yes, and you can't go wrong.
Kingdom and all of the he will provide for you. So every day when you seek God first, out loud with your mouth, not, don't just pray in your mind because your mind can wander. Pray out, you know, speak to you, know, make you know, and I and be in fear.
Okay, well, we did not hear
work.
Any of that, Teresa. Unfortunately, none of that came through. And I don't want people to miss what you're saying because it's so very important. So save your favorite passages for next time when you come on where people can see your beautiful face and your beautiful
right.
art in motion.
Thank
and
you.
So thank you.
Thank you.
Teresa K. And you can find Teresa K's art on her Facebook page, The Sand. It's Teresa K on Facebook. I've been out of Facebook for a while because I got a new phone. Blah, blah, blah. It's boring. But so I don't really know. I haven't checked out your Facebook, but I do know you're on Instagram. And you also have a website called thequicksandart.com. Go ahead and plug anything else you want right now.
The Instagram, the art, is the quicksand with no art after.
The quicksand.
The quicksand dot
everybody.
Dot
I'm following
my webpage.
Yes.
Instagram, the quicksand.
Okay. Well, hey everybody,
Thank
we're gonna
you.
Have this up. Don't go yet. I'm going to do the shout out now. Everybody,
okay.
you can find this show on our YouTube channel. That's at Life, Laughter, Happiness. Go there, subscribe. You can listen to the show again, and it doesn't matter. We couldn't hear your shout out at the end. You will see. We will connect that at the bottom of the show. We will be posting on our Life, Laughter, Happiness Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter with this link to the show. So
and
go
Roku.
Check out Teresa K. And also, start praying, everybody. Do what Teresa has done in her life. Change it all around. Get your higher power under you. Lighten your fire because, hello, it works. So have a great night, everybody. Thank you so
Good
much,
night, everyone.
Teresa, for coming on. And thank you, Johnny.
Good night,
Bye-bye.
Teresa.
Thank you so much.